I've got lots of script here, but my word is the Spirit moving this morning. My heart is pounding. I can't tell you how fast my heart is going this morning. So I'm going to try and stick to script, but it might just go off as it usually does when I speak. I'm going to start in Psalm 139, which you know is one of my favourites, Psalm 139, verses 13 to 16. And I want this to be a reminder this morning as we start a new year, and a year that I think is going to be really exciting for everybody, with lots of change and lots of new things, lots of things to celebrate, lots of things to be excited about for everybody. That I just want to just take us and ground us a little bit today about where we are and who we are, because it's really important to remember that as we move into something new, exactly, just to keep our feet on the ground. So Psalm 139, verses 13 to 16. You made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvellous, how well I know it. You watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion, as I was woven together in the dark of the womb. You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every day was laid out before a single day had passed. Isn't that good to remind ourselves of? You know, that song we just watched the video, Waymaker, what amazing words. That really touched me. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. Even when I don't see it, even when I don't feel it, you never stop working. There are days, aren't there, where we think, whoa, where are you, God, in this? What is happening? And I want you to imagine buying a jigsaw puzzle and there's no picture on the lid. Because that's what our life is like, isn't it? Our life is one big jigsaw puzzle and we have no idea of what it should look like from the lid. But as we go through our lives, it becomes more and more complete. And we can look back and think, ah, now I get why that piece goes there. Oh, and that piece fits there. And those things come together. But God has got the picture. He knows exactly what our lives should look like. And at the end, we will see that completed picture. But in the meantime, we have little pieces that we have to fit in where we think they belong. It's really difficult sometimes to think. And Clive and I and Jeanette have talked many times about how our paths have almost crossed. And we've missed each other by a week here or a month there or 6 months there. But then they did cross. When God wanted them to, we were brought together to work together. God knew that all the time. He knew when I was in a different place, when Clive was in, when we were all in different places, he knew that one day we would all be here together for the purpose he has for us today, for the purpose he has for us now. One of the greatest things I've learned in the last, not learned, I've done in the last few months, is to let go of the past. It's really hard sometimes, isn't it? You hold on to things because almost because you feel you ought to, or you should, or people expect you to. And as you know, I lost a child 30 years ago now, and every November, December, it is expected that I will grieve and be upset about for that child. And I'm not saying that I don't remember. But, you know, this year, for the first year, I actually thought, you know what? That's in a box now. It's 30 years ago. It's something I've actually put in a box now and put it on a shelf as an event that happened in my life and helped to make me who I am. But it's been and it's gone. And when other people looked at me and said, please don't make me feel like I should be sad or I should grieve that it's expected of me, because I don't feel that now. I've moved on. And I think it's taken too long, far too long. But I think that we have to do that, don't we? And something was said this morning about standing in the present and looking forward, not looking back. Taking every, it was Frank, it was you praying, wasn't it? And I think every second that we have is a blessing from God and was given to us from God. And we have to appreciate that second, but never know whether the next second is coming. So not to hold on to the past and not to worry about tomorrow, but just to be present in where we are today. And that's how God created us to be. He didn't create us to worry. He has the plan in his hand. He knows exactly what's going to happen. I've gone off script completely already, which isn't a good sign, really, is it? It's not good. So, can you put the first image up, please, James, for me? This is the truth, isn't it? You're not a mistake. You are not a problem. You are not a burden, not an inconvenience, not a nuisance, not an accident, not a punishment. You are a miracle created by God. Every single one of you is a miracle created by God. And I know there was a time when people used to talk about, oh, accident, oh, it was an accident. And lots of children grew up being labelled an accident and being labelled a mistake. Every child that's ever born on this planet was planned by God. They were always planned. Maybe not planned by the human beings that conceived them, but they were planned by God with a plan in their future for them to do great things for him. I want you now to take a moment just to close your eyes and really feel the love of God that created you. That said, when he looked at his world, when he looked at creation, I want you to be in my world. And just feel that overwhelming love that he has for you. Thank you, Lord, that the creator of the universe, Lord of Lords, King of Kings, wanted me, wanted us to be part of his creation, to be his children, that called us to him to be his children. I thank you, Lord, for the blessings that you pour upon us every day. As Beryl said this morning, just to open our eyes in the morning and take that first breath. How blessed are we to be in your presence all day, every day. How blessed are we to have the families and the friends and the support that we have. How blessed are we. But I thank you, God, that you knew all of that before I took my first breath on this earth. That you knew that I would be here on the 12th of January 2020 sharing your word. That you know all things and that all things are in your hands. We love you, God. We love you, our Lord Jesus. We love the Holy Spirit. We just thank you for being part of our lives. Yes. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Not a mistake, not a problem. I can remember Georgina ringing me in February 2011 from university, having just started a second year. Wasn't the news I was expecting. Mum, I'm coming home. I'm pregnant. Oh, okay. It was February half term, so it was really good with the timing, thankfully. And her being, not ever being devastated by it. Not ever being upset by it. Yes, it was a spanner in the works, and yes, it wasn't the plan that we had. But my word, you know, I look at Bledin every day and think, my gosh, what a blessing you are. Because he truly is a blessing from God. And I know that he is of God, as we all are. Never a mistake. Never an inconvenience. And now consider what we've just shared. God has a plan for you. And he's always had a plan for you. And as a child of his, he'll reveal it to you. You know, he had a plan for every child born in the world. Every child out there in the world. Not just us in the church, he has a plan for everybody. Every child that's conceived, he has a plan for. But we need to come into his presence for that plan to be revealed. And sometimes that breaks my heart that there are lots of people out in that big wide world that he has a plan for that could be something so significant and so massive. But unless they come to him, that plan is not going to be revealed to them. And sometimes I think we could have missed so many things. But he knows. And he has more control than we think, doesn't he? We forget sometimes just how much control he has. And I want to take us to Acts 9 to think about Saul, who became Paul. And I'm going to read, I'm being even more tech today, I've actually got my phone out to read from instead of my Bible. I'm going to read from chapter 9, from verse 1. Meanwhile, Saul was uttering threats with every breath and was eager to kill the Lord's followers. So he went to the high priest. He requested letters addressed to the synagogues in Damascus, asking for their cooperation in the arrest of any followers of the way he found there. He wanted to bring them, both men and women, back to Jerusalem in chains. As he was approaching Damascus on this mission, a light from heaven suddenly shone down around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" "Who are you, Lord?" Saul asked. And the voice replied, "I am Jesus, the one you were persecuting. Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do." The men with Saul stood speechless, for they heard the sound of someone's voice, but saw no one. Saul picked himself up off the ground, and when he opened his eyes, he was blind. So his companions led him by the hand to Damascus. He remained there blind for 3 days and did not eat or drink. Now there was a believer in Damascus named Ananias. The Lord spoke to him in a vision, calling, "Ananias." "Yes, Lord," he replied. "The Lord said, go over to Straight Street, to the house of Judas. When you get there, ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul. He is praying to me right now. I have shown him a vision of a man named Ananias coming in and laying hands on him so he could see again." "But Lord," exclaimed Ananias, "I've heard many people talk about the terrible things this man has done to the believers in Jerusalem, and he is authorized by the leading priest to arrest everyone who calls upon your name." But the Lord said, "Go, for Saul is my chosen instrument to take my message to the Gentiles and to kings, as well as to the people of Israel, and I will show him how much he must suffer for my name's sake." So Ananias went and found Saul. He laid his hands on him and said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road, has sent me so that you might regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit." Instantly, something like scales fell from Saul's eyes, and he regained his sight. Then he got up and was baptized. God can do anything, anything, and he can bring anyone to him. We're seed planters. We're asked to plant the seed. We're asked to be sure that wherever we go, we plant the seed, whether it be on good soil or bad soil or dry soil. Whatever we do, we plant the seed, and God does the rest. Can you put the second one up, please, James? So this is a good one, isn't it? If you think you've blown God's plan for your life, rest in this. You, my beautiful friends, are not that powerful. Whatever God's got for you to do, especially once you've committed to God, once you've allowed him into your life and become a child of his, you can turn your back, you can walk the other way, you can do whatever you want to do. But if he's got a plan for you and a job for you to do, he will make sure you do that job. He will make sure it happens. You know, I was preaching, lay preaching, for a good few years when I was in my previous church. And then I was unwell in 2015. And I sort of backed off and said, you know what, I'm going to focus on myself for a bit. And I'm just going to get myself well and get myself back on my feet. And I sort of almost didn't turn my back on God, but I wasn't going to church and I wasn't worshipping and I wasn't where I should have been. But he brings you back. I never thought that I'd be in the pulpit again. I never thought I'd share God's word again. I thought that was done. It was history. It was the past. But he brings you back. Because if he has a plan for you, he's going to keep that plan. He's going to keep his word. And he's going to make sure that he makes you right with him so you can do what he wants you to do. He's all powerful. There is nothing more powerful than God. There is no one more powerful than God. He is the most powerful. Nothing can cause him to turn his back on you or to tear up your plan. He's not going to say, you know what, forget that, I'll go somewhere else. Just leave her to wander off and do her own thing. He's always going to call you back, and he'll use people around you to pull you back. He'll use circumstances to pull you back, but he'll always do something to draw you back to him. And if you divert, he He'll divert with you and then guide you back onto the path you should be on. This is where I want to go today, though, just to ground us a little bit. The best news is that he wants you to be you. He doesn't want you to be anybody else. The world is very much about let's all be like each other. My youngest daughter used to call, she went to an all-girls school, and she used to call a group of girls there the plastics. Because they used to have the same makeup, and the same straightened hair, and the same shoes, and the same bags, and the same uniform, and they were just little clones of each other. Now, some of those girls really struggled to fit into that group, but they felt it was what they needed to do. They felt they should be part of that group. Luckily, my daughter never did. And I think we live in a world with lots of media, Facebook and all the different things, where we spend all our time looking at what other people are doing and what other people look like and what other people like and where they're going and what holidays they're having and what the house looks like and what car they've got. And the world can pressurise us to be the same, to be in a competition of who can have the best and who can look the best and who can be the best. God doesn't want that for any of us. If he wanted us all to be the same, we would have been created all the same because he is the creator. He could have created us any way he wanted to. We could have been created with 6 arms and 10 legs. He created us to be exactly what we are. And for every single one of us to be different. Even identical twins are genetically different. There is nothing, you know, no 2 people on the world, on the planet are the same people. And he made us that way because he has a different job for every one of us. One of the greatest gifts I think we have here in this church is that we all have gifts and we all use them. And nobody steps on anybody else's toes. If it's someone's job to do the tea today, that person does the tea. If it's somebody's job to put the chairs out, that person puts the chairs out. We don't compete to say, well, I can do the chairs and the tea, and I can put the books out, and I can do this, and I can sing, and I can do everything else. We all recognise we've got different jobs and different gifts, and we do it. And that's what the body of the church is supposed to be about. And we also recognise that different churches are different, because different churches are also the body of Christ. They're the body of the church worldwide. So every church needs to be different to meet the needs of the people that go to that church. We're not all supposed to be the same. We're not supposed to look at one church and say, oh, I tell you what, I like their order of service much better than ours. Should we do it that way? Or I like their worship better than we do. Should we do it that way instead? No, we're supposed to do it the way that's meant for us. And not worry about what other people think or what other people plan for us, because God has a plan for us. And his plan is what matters, not anything else. We talk in the world about mindfulness. It's a big thing, isn't there, about mental health and mindfulness and being aware of you. How can you be aware of yourself if you try all the time to be someone else? That's where the world's gone wrong. We're so busy trying to be someone else and be something else that we've lost sight of who we actually are and who we're meant to be. Amen. And that's why the world is struggling so much. You know, our young people coming up through the world are just surrounded by images of how they should be, of rules and regulations of how they should behave, how they should feel, how they should think, how they should move forward, what job they should get, what career path they should take. They're not given time just to be themselves, just to be who they are and to find out as they grow, who am I? What do I like? What am I good at? What am I not good at? What's my gift? What sort of person am I? Who should my friendship group be? Who should I listen to? Because we do it all for them. So much more than we've ever done. Children aren't allowed to climb and get hurt. Oh, don't climb up there, you'll fall and hurt yourself. Let them fall and hurt themselves. They learn. We don't let them learn anymore. We cosset them and wrap them in cotton wool and we tell them how they should think and how they should be. Well, one day, those children will be adults. And they grow into adults who still feel like that, who still feel that everything has got to be done for them. I jokingly say to people, my daughters are 26 and 29 now, and they don't make a decision without contacting me first. Which isn't a good thing. It's a privilege, it's quite an honour they think my opinion matters. But they should be doing those things on their own now. They should be making the decision and then coming to me and saying, I've made this decision. Not saying, Mum, what do you think? All the time. Maybe I haven't been the best parent really in that way. You never know, do you? So let's move away from this having hair like A and a body like B and a house like D. You know, even in church, let's stop comparing ourselves to others. Let's stop thinking, oh, well, they sing better than I do. Or they do more for the church than I do. Or they give more than I do. We just can't do it, can we? That's not what we're supposed to be. That's not what God wants of us. He wants us all to be ourselves. It's not God's way, and he wants us to be different. I want to read, if I can find it now, because I've just shut my phone down, which probably isn't very good. It's not a good idea to do that, is it, when you're trying to share God's word? From Galatians chapter 6. I can't even find it. I've got Galatians. Chapter 6, verses 14 to 15. Because this is who we are. We'll open in a second. As for me, may I never boast about anything except the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because of that cross, my interest in this world has been crucified. And the world's interest in me has also died. Because it does, doesn't it? As you step out more and more for the Lord, the people of the world suddenly disengage from you, don't they? It doesn't matter whether we have been circumcised or not. What counts is whether we have been transformed into a new creation. Because that's who we are. We are a new creation in Christ. That same Holy Spirit, and this is a bit of my script I missed out completely, that same Holy Spirit that caused the conception of Jesus Christ is the same Holy Spirit that caused me to be born again. It's the same Holy Spirit. We read the Christmas story and we talk about the miracle of Christ's birth and the miracle of his conception. That same miracle has happened in every one of us. If we're born again, that same miracle has happened. The Holy Spirit has filled us and recreated us into what he had planned for us from day one, before we were born. And he's made us into those people. But we have to keep our eyes on him, and we have to remember that he has a plan for us. And on those days when we feel, oh, I just don't get it anymore. I don't know where I'm going, I don't know what I'm doing, I don't know what's happening. To trust in him with all of your heart, and he will direct your path. And he might not direct it in the next 30 seconds like you want him to. You might have to wait a little bit to see what's happening, but he will do it. He will take you to where he wants you to be and do in you what he wants to do. And he will use you for what he wants to use you. And it can be different for everybody. It's not for everyone to lead the worship group. It's not for everyone to do the tech desk. It's not for everyone to do everything. It's for you to do what God has called you to do. And to give the people who are called to those things the time to do those things. Isn't it? I never go to Clive, and I will never, ever go to any pastor and say, can I speak? I don't do it. I allow the Holy Spirit to go to either of us and say, now is the time. Because I learned the hard way, that's not how it works. It's God's timing and God's plan, isn't it? So I don't do that anymore. I'm quite good now. Behave myself. So does it make you feel uncomfortable, the thought that you have to stand alone, that you have to stand up and just be you, that it's no good looking at the person next to you and think, I'll just be like them, it'll be fine if I'm just like them, because God's really good to them, so I'll just copy and imitate them and then God will be good to me too? He won't though, because he wants to be good to you for who you are. The only person we should ever model ourselves on in attitude is Jesus Christ himself. Nobody else. We should listen to what he says to us, what he plants in our hearts. We should follow his model of being different, of standing out from the crowd. Jesus didn't fit in with the crowd. He never fitted in with the crowd. He made sure he stood out from the crowd. He, even from the beginning, from the conception by the Holy Spirit, an unmarried mother, to his birth in a stable surrounded by animals. Nothing was as you'd expect it to be. Nothing was as normal, if you like. It was as different as it could be, wasn't it? The extreme. He met with the lowest of the low, the people living on the periphery of society. He didn't put himself in the middle and make himself comfortable. He made himself uncomfortable all of the time. The widowed, the lame, the blind, the diseased, the hated, the unloved, the wounded, the damaged, that's where we found Jesus. With them, always. He was different, he was radical, and he was a light in the darkness, but he always followed God's plan for his life. He never stepped away from that plan, even the days he wanted to, even when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, thinking, oh, Lord, God, Father, what have I done? What is coming? I'm fearful for what's coming. And he must have been terrified. He had taken on human flesh, and he must have been terrified. But he still followed the plan that God had for his life, and he still stayed true to it. But that plan enabled us to be born again. And if he hadn't followed that plan, we wouldn't be where we are now. We wouldn't be here today, because the Christian faith wouldn't exist. But we know that he died and rose again and came back and inspired us and filled us with the Holy Spirit so that we can be here today. And we can continue the work that he started. Because that's our calling, isn't it? It's to continue the work that Jesus started. The ministry that he started. So let's pray for God to reveal that plan in our lives. Let's, like I've said, trust in him with all our hearts and let him guide us. Lean not on our own understanding, not try and work it out for ourselves, but let him guide us in the right paths. And I just want to put one more image up. How cool is it that the same God who created mountains and oceans and galaxies looked at you and thought, the world needed one of you too. Isn't that amazing? I'm going to leave that up there while we finish it today. But I think we just need to ground ourselves and just take ourselves right back. We've had a fantastic time of worship, and we've worshipped an amazing, awesome God this morning. And we've worshipped King of Kings, Lord of Majesty. We've bowed before him this morning. But that same God wanted you and you and you and you and you to be here today as part of his plan. Amen.